The great unknown, where feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name. Above the waves, where oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Oh, grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed and you won't start now. Yeah. Call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. keep my eyes above the waves.
I will call
upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves.
I will call
upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves.
I will call upon your name, Jesus.
I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves.
Rest
in your embrace, I am yours, and you are my own. You are my own.
Those are powerful words, aren't they? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Yes.
You mean that?
Yes, amen.
That's what I heard the Spirit say to me a few moments ago. Do you mean that? Do you mean it? Spirit of the Lord, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Would you just sing it softly with me?
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Spirit, lead me.
Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Thank you, Lord. A number of you may not know, but one of our own received his ultimate healing yesterday evening around 6 p.m. Brother Rick Moody is now with Jesus in his presence. He's not suffering anymore. He was in a lot of pain, and he was actually crying out to God, please take me. And when I went in yesterday, I took Robin's hand. She said, will you please pray that God will take him, because I don't want to see him suffer anymore. And he didn't want to suffer anymore. And 3 or 4 hours later, he was with the Lord. I rejoice that another soldier has made it home, but my heart is heavy for the family. And as we pray, as we come to the Word this morning, would you join me in praying for this family and asking God to comfort them I'm so thankful for the hope that we have in Jesus. What do people do that don't have the Lord? I'm so thankful to have hope in Jesus Christ. Brother Rick has received his ultimate healing. He's not in any pain anymore. Would you stretch your hand toward me this morning, pray with me, and also pray for the Moody family. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your word. It's your word that gives a life. We ask that you would anoint this time in your word. I ask you to anoint me, your servant, anoint your people. I pray that you would move in this place in a powerful way throughout the remainder of this service. We'll give you the glory and the praise for it. But Father, we're interceding for, our hearts are heavy for the Moody family today. We ask you to touch them, minister to them, give them grace in this time. You said in your word, your grace is sufficient. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So may your strength just undergird them. Hallelujah. A special administration, a special demonstration of your love and grace. May it be wrapped around them. Hallelujah. We'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Bless this service, the remainder of our time together now. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you will, just play for a few moments. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I couldn't get away from the theme that I was on last week, so I felt like the Lord wanted me to give you part two of how to fight and win God's way. How to fight and to win God's way. How many of you are in this spiritual fight, this spiritual war, all the way to the end? You intend to get to the end. You intend to endure to the end. Lift up that hand all over this house. You intend to do that. Hallelujah. While you got that hand up there, just give him praise for the grace to make it all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that he who began a good work in me is going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Tommy. We're going to read the scripture in just a few moments, so just keep your Bibles open to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You see, there's no doubt that the journey for a sold-out, dedicated child of God is one of warfare, spiritual warfare. The enemy doesn't bother those who are cooperating with him. Right? After all, they are doing his every beck and call. They're cooperating with him. He's not going to bother them. He's after those who are making a strong, lasting impact for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but that is my prayer and my aspiration, is to make a positive, lasting, long-lasting impact for God's kingdom. And to do that, I've got to love God with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength, and I've got to love my neighbor as myself. What it really comes down to with our mission in life, it could be boiled down to this: love God with all your heart and love people with the love that he's put in your heart. Because life is really all about relationships. It's not about your stuff. It's not about your possessions. It's not about all the things that we think are so important. It's about Jesus. It's about our relationship with him and with others. And in order to not become discouraged and dismayed in this spiritual warfare, we must do what Paul told young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Again, we must do what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You therefore must endure hardship. I'm telling you, this life is filled with hardship. It's filled with troubles. It's filled with pain. It's filled with trying circumstances, isn't it? He said, but you've got to endure that. You've got to endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I'm here to tell you this morning, God enlisted you as a soldier in his battlefield. He enlisted you to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life. He enlisted you to stay in the fight and not give up when the goal gets tough. It's gonna get tough for all of us. The battle's gonna heat up at times, but that's when you've got to take the bull by the horns, if you will, to use our old expression, and say, I am going to serve God. I'm gonna move forward. I'm gonna do what he's called me to do. I'm gonna keep the faith no matter what comes my way. To the Ephesians, he said in verse number 10 of chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the evil schemes, the wicked schemes of the devil. As I reminded you last week, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not fleshly, they're not of this world, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Whatever that stronghold is, God has given you and me every weapon, every tool that we need in our arsenal to be effective and to be victorious and to be an overcoming believer. This situation that we find here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 of King Jehoshaphat paints for us a beautiful picture of what we can do when we simply don't know what to do and we feel overwhelmed. I don't know about you, but there's times that I feel overwhelmed. It feels like it's coming in from every direction. Raise your hand if you can identify and resonate what I'm talking about. You feel overwhelmed. You feel like, I can't take this. I can't do this. I don't have the strength. Well, we can join Jehoshaphat, because he was feeling the same way. Look at verse number 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you. There it is. A great multitude is coming against you. There are times I feel a great multitude is coming against me. From beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar. And Jehoshaphat feared, verse 3, and set himself to seek the Lord. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse number 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And verse 8, and they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine. We will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they have turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, glory to God. I feel this today. King Jehoshaphat faced a serious crisis. Three nations were about to attack Judah and Jerusalem. And Jehoshaphat's initial human reaction was panic. Well, you and I would panic too. Let's don't try to be super spiritual, because all of us have to face fear. We all have to deal with panic. Some of you had some panic that you've been dealing with this week. Fear has tried to grip your mind and grip your heart and grip your body. You know what that feels like when all of a sudden you just feel like you're paralyzed. It's fear that's trying to take hold of you. However, he did not let his fear defeat him. It's not wrong to face fear. It's not wrong to have to deal with fear, but it is wrong to let fear take control of you, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm telling you, it's just another opportunity for God to show up and to step out into your situation and to intervene and show you how good and how powerful and how holy he is, and how he's able to take what seems like a helpless and hopeless situation and turn it around for his glory and for your good. God is able. He did not let his fear defeat him, because he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. I believe that good spiritual godly leaders will lead people to fast and to pray, because there is a deficiency of it in our day. We have all of these techniques and we have all of these things that we try to do, but I'm here to tell you, first and foremost, the church is supposed to be a house of prayer. And I'm not just talking about prayer taking place when we come in here. Yes, that's what we should do. It should be a house of prayer. But your house should be a house of prayer. I'm not just talking about where you live either. I'm talking about your life. Your body is a tent. Your body is a house of the Spirit of God. Our houses ought to be a house of prayer. Prayer ought to be taking place inside my spirit, inside my mind, inside this tent that God has given me. It ought to take place in the place where you live at home, and it ought to take place right here in the house of God. This place has been set aside. It's been sanctified for God. It's been sanctified for his glory to be a house of prayer. I thank God for preaching, and I thank God for singing, but more than anything else, it's time for the church to get back to praying and fasting and seeking the face of God and believing him for miracles and believing him for breakthrough and believing him for bondage to be torn asunder in people's lives. Oh, hallelujah. He said, first of all, we fight and we win God's way through fasting and prayer. We fight and win. Not only did he fast and pray, he called his people to fast and pray. He personally demonstrated what he was asking the people to do. He led the people by example. How many know that real leaders lead by example? And real leaders are servants. Real leaders have not come to be served, but they've come to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be like all these other leaders. They all want to sit in the great places and they all want to be honored by everybody else. But I'm telling you, Jesus came with a servant mentality. He said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. He demonstrated that by going to a cross. He made everybody. He made everything there was, but he came and demonstrated humility and lowliness and godliness by humbling himself. There's power when God's people unite in prayer for one purpose. This reminds me of when Peter and John were threatened not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. Remember that in Acts chapter 4? And the Bible says in verse 32, And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. I'm here to tell you this morning, if we'll come together in one purpose and one mind and one goal and one aspiration, I'm telling you, God will bless that. The presence of God will come down in our midst in a supernatural manifested way, and he will shake the place once again. He will shake your situation. He will turn it around for his glory and for your good. I can't help but wonder how many more victories we would win and how many heartaches we would avoid if we would turn our initial fears into faith. Turn our worries into worship. How many of you know that takes an intentional, deliberate effort to do that? It takes a made-up mind before you get into it. And the Spirit of the Lord can reveal to you this is an attack of the enemy. The Spirit of the Lord can reveal to you this is warfare that you're in. The Spirit of the Lord will show you. If you're walking with him, the Spirit of the Lord will break through what the enemy's trying to do and show you this is nothing but the enemy and his attack. It's spiritual warfare. And you've got to stand up in Jesus' name with kingdom authority and take authority and bind the evil spirits and send them back to hell where they came from. Take authority in Jesus' name over the powers of darkness. I'm telling you, prayer will take care of the power of the enemy. He said, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He didn't say he might flee. You've got kingdom authority and power. When you face those crisis moments, you don't know what to do. Fasting and prayer ought to be the first resource, not the last resort. Isn't that what King Jehoshaphat is showing us here? He was faced with opposition of the enemy, and the very first thing he does is say, okay, it's time to fast and pray. But what do we do a lot of times? We try to come up with all of these other creative and ingenious ideas of how we're going to fix it. I'll try A, B, C, and D, and if A, B, C, and D don't work, then I'll turn to E and pray. Nope, don't work that way in the kingdom. If you want victory, you will not operate that way. You'll go to him first. Isn't that what Matthew 6 and 33 says? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. And one of those things he'll add unto you is he'll take care of your enemy. He'll take care of Satan and his evil spirits that are coming against you. Oh, I feel something breaking in the spirit realm here today. I feel something breaking in some people's lives here today. The enemy's been hounding you over and over. I'm here to tell you today, you've got authority in the name of Jesus Christ. It started last week with some people. They started getting some freedom, but God's going to complete that today in some people's lives. You ought to lift up your voice in Jesus' name and tell the enemy, you get behind me. You have no power over me. I've submitted myself to Jesus Christ. I've given my heart, my life to him, and he's given me authority over you. So I command you to get behind me. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is written, away with you, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. It is written. Come on, give him praise in the house. I think some devils are leaving somebody right now. Some evil spirits, some oppression is leaving somebody here because you've injected, you've invoked the name of Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. I'm telling you, it's the name and the authority and the power of Jesus. Come on, lift up his name in the house. Jesus. Come lift your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord says, I've come to break every chain and every fetter of the enemy. Why sit there in bondage? Rise up. Your shackles can be no more. If you'll let me move in your heart and life, I will put the enemy to flight. I will put the enemy to flight in your life. Lift up a praise. Let praise go out before you, and goodness and mercy will come in from behind you. I've got you surrounded, says the Lord. Don't let the enemy invoke fear into your life, but invoke my name, the name of Jesus, and you'll find victory in your life. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Jesus. Jesus. Secondly, we win and we fight. We fight and we win God's way through trusting in the word of the Lord. Yes, trusting in the Logos, the written word of God. How many of you know this is our foundation? But not just the Logos, but also the Rhema. You know what I'm talking about when I say Rhema? A Rhema word is a word that's fitly spoken in a particular season that you're in. How many know that the Holy Spirit knows how to take a word from his book and make it applicable to your life in the very season that you find yourself in? A Rhema word, a now word, a word that is fitly spoken. Isn't that what Proverbs said? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need. It is amazing how you can come into a church service like this, and as the preacher is preaching the word of God, one person over here might get this out of it, and somebody else might get this out of it, and somebody else might get this out of it, because the Holy Spirit knows how to take that word and make it applicable to what you're going through and what you're facing individually, what you're facing in your marriage, what you're facing in your home, what you're facing on the job. The Holy Spirit knows how to take the word and give us a Rhema word, a now word, a Rhema word. Hallelujah. And that's what happened for Jehoshaphat. He needed a Rhema word. But I'm here to tell you, when you pour out your heart to God in fasting and prayer, you better get ready, because it's coming. I can't tell you exactly when. I just know he's going to talk to you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to show you what to do. He's going to show you which path to take. Verse 13, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. It's time that we get our families and bring everybody together and stand before the Lord and wait on him to speak. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, verse 15, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, isn't it good to have a king who's willing to listen to the word of the Lord? Who's willing to seek the Lord? Who's willing to fast before the Lord? He said, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Oh, I feel that right there. You've got to get in position if you want a miracle from God. Some of you got out of position and you're wondering why miracles are not flowing. You stop praying, you stop reading the word, you stop coming to his house, you're not in accountability, you're not in fellowship with others, and you wonder why you can't get a word from God. Get yourself back in position. Get yourself back in position. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. Why? Because the Lord is with you. One of the great weapons we have in spiritual warfare is the Word of God. And we must seek after His Word and listen to what He's saying. We must let God speak to us through His Word. And as we seek God in prayer, as we look to God for guidance, God will give us an answer. And following that prayer, God sent a word of hope, a prophetic word, a rhema word that I just told you about. Jehaziel encouraged the people to trust in God. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. God told them where the enemy was. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit can show us what's around the bend? Have you ever just sensed something's going on in the spirit realm? Something's not right. I can feel it. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit is saying to us, be wise as serpents, be harmless as doves. Keep your spiritual radar up. And pray for discernment like you never have before. Pray for the ability to discern between what is right and what is wrong, what is of God and what is not of God. We need spiritual discernment. They were to position themselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And when God said, you will not need to fight in this battle, listen closely to this. He was not saying, sit down and do nothing. That's what a lot of people think. Well, God told me not to fight in this battle, so I'm just going to sit here. How many of you know that's not God's call for you and me? What He was saying, He says, you are not going to fight in the way armies usually fight, with a sword and a spear. This is going to be a holy war fought my way, fought in the spirit, fought with my weapons of warfare, not the world's. You just listen what I tell you to do, and you just do it, and you will see me work in miraculous ways. Listen, if you will take time to seek the Lord in fasting and prayer and obedience to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you need to know in order to defeat your enemy. God does not want you to be defeated. He wants you to be victorious. God is for you. He is not against you. Do you believe that today? We're more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. But notice this last key that I want to point out. And I'm trying to move this toward prayer time, because I believe the Holy Spirit has got a great work to do here in these altars this morning. We fight and we win God's way. when we send praise and worship out ahead of us. You'll get that in a minute. Verse number 18, and when Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they've been kneeling down with their faces to the ground, and then now they're standing up and they're lifting up their hands. They're lifting up their voices loud and high. They're calling on the Lord. It's time that we call on the Lord again, church. Call on Him. And they rose early in the morning, verse 20, and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." In other words, the word that we've received from Jehaziel the prophet, you've got to believe it. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. Let me just preach for a moment right here to people who've heard the word of the Lord all their lives. It's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to do the word. Because you really don't know the word until you live it out and practice it. That's right. As a matter of fact, the word believe is an action word. If you say, "I believe what God has said," then there will be action that's associated with that. I mean, the woman with the issue of blood could have said, "I believe that the Lord can heal me," and just sat there and died in her condition. But because she believed and had action associated with it, she said, "I am not going to just sit here and die. I've had this condition for 12 long years, and I've gone to every physician I know of, and nobody has been able to help me, but there is a master healer that keeps coming by, so I'm just going to press through this crowd until I touch the hem of his garment." I mean, she could have got discouraged and said, "There's no way I can get through the crowd," but no, she had perseverance. She had a tenacious spirit. She said, "I'm going to get there. If it kills me, I don't have any other resource, I don't have any other way to turn on to anyhow, so I'm going to go after him. I'm going to touch the hem of his garment." And when she did, power flowed. When they begin to sing, the Bible says in verse 21, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever.'" I don't know if it sounded like that or not, but that's how I hear it. "Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord." Sing it with me. "For his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." One more time. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. Oh, hallelujah. "Against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." I'm here to tell you this morning, praise unto God will open up prison doors. Praise unto God will cause confusion in the camp of the enemy. Praise unto God will set the demons of hell into a fit. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to respond. All they know is that we got to get out of here, because he's praising Jesus. She's praising the Lord. I'm here to tell you, praise confuses the enemy. It's a powerful weapon because God inhabits the praises of His people, right? And when we praise God, He moves into our praise. And when God moves into our praise, our problems don't stand a chance. I didn't say that our problems go away immediately, but your perspective of those problems begins to change because you see how big your God is and not how big your problems are. I believe somebody needs a fresh perspective today. When you send praise out before you, you send worship out ahead of you, your perspective begins to change. You're no longer thinking about how hopeless this situation is. You're saying, with God, all things are possible to him who believes. This thing looks bleak in my own eyes, but through the Spirit of the Lord and through the power of God, I see another army, like Elisha told his servant. I see another army that's fighting for me, and those who are for me are more than those who are against me. I'm here to tell you, you got some people against you. You got some spirits working against you. There's more for you than there are against you. Matter of fact, if everybody's for you, you better get worried. I've said this before, and I want to say it again. If Jesus couldn't get everybody to like him, what makes you and I think we can? My goal is to love everybody. My goal is to get along with as many people as I can. I have a goal to be a peacemaker. But there's some people that it just seems like they won't let me make peace with them. So if that's the way they want it, then that's the way they're going to have it. But I'm just going to keep praying for them and keep loving them and do what God's called me to do. But don't live your life like you've got to please everybody, because you can't do it. When you believe God, when you believe and act on His word, praise to God is set in motion. Jehoshaphat believed the word the prophet had given and began praising the Lord. You know, it's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to believe it. That's what I was telling you about a few moments ago. Put it into action. We know that we ought to praise the Lord, but how many times are we sitting around worrying? We could be using all that energy that we're worrying. We could be using that energy to turn it over to the Lord, to pray about it, to cast our cares upon Him, to praise Him, and to worship Him. Anybody can worship Him when things are going great. Anybody can worship Him when things are going well. Notice the place of praise in God's victory. We learn that we ought to praise the Lord before the battle. As soon as Jehoshaphat heard the message from Jehaziel, what did he do? The Bible says he worshiped the Lord. When you hear a word from God, you ought to worship Him. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I can't do that right now. I'm waiting for God to move. And when God answers my request, and when God moves on my behalf, and when I see the change, when I see things get better, then I'll praise Him. Well, that's immaturity right there. I'm telling you, we've got to praise Him. I said, we've got to praise Him before the answer comes. We got to praise Him before the miracle arrives on the scene. We got to praise Him before we feel better. We got to praise Him in the midst of it. And that's the next part. We ought to praise the Lord during the battle. Early the next morning, everyone went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. Jehoshaphat challenged the people, saying, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper." Jehoshaphat's earlier panic had dissipated and had given way to God's promises. Instead of seeing the giants in the land, he was seeing the God of the giants. He appointed singers who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of His holiness. As they went out before the army singing, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Can you just imagine what the enemy thought as they looked over the horizon and saw this army coming, but they didn't have swords and spears. They were just singing and praising. Glory. You know, we just finished our series on Psalm 23. You remember David's two friends? He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." As he sent praise out ahead, praise and worship out ahead. How many of you know that goodness and mercy was taking care of them in the back? God had them surrounded. We ought to praise him before the victory. Before the battle, we ought to praise him in the battle. If you'll please come, Brother Tommy. And we ought to praise the Lord after the victory is won. Look at what it says here. After God gave them such a wonderful victory, the people assembled in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Baraka until this day. Because of their obedience to the Lord and fasting and prayer and praise and worship, confusion set into the camp of the enemy, and they began to turn on one another. God told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and that's exactly what they witnessed. They cooperated with the Lord. They did what they were called to do. They began to sing and to worship and to praise and just trust God. How many of you know that praise sometimes is just an exercise of trust? It's an exercise of faith. There's many times I praise and worship of the Lord, and it was the last thing that I felt like doing in my body or in my spirit. But I'm telling you, those are the times it's a true, genuine sacrifice of praise. Anybody can praise him on the mountaintop, but what about down in the valley? God, I give you praise. I give you glory. I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. I give you praise before, during, and after, because you are faithful. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 I want you to start sending some praise out before you. Come on, send some praise out before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We send out some praise. We send out praise, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
His holy name.
Come on, sing it with me.
Oh, sing like never before. Oh, my soul.